Our New Testament passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Listen now to the word from our Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his holy word. As many of you know, I was home visiting my parents, and we had a lovely Christmas and New Year's time together, and I enjoyed very much the rest, although I did, unfortunately, get sick. But it was wonderful. And as we were arriving, my sister and I, to stay with my parents for the holiday, we noticed that next door, new neighbors were moving in. And my parents, being the gracious hospitality people that they are, bought them a box of candy. Because that's what you do, right? When a new neighbor comes into a neighborhood where you all talk to each other and know each other, you take over some sort of a gift, right? A casserole, maybe, candy, flowers, or even just a visit to welcome them into the neighborhood. That's sort of exactly what's going on here in our gospel passage from Matthew 2. We sing a song at Christmas, "Love Came Down." But what we really mean is that God moved into the neighborhood in the form of a little baby. The heavens knew about it, the stars knew about it, and the wise men, according to our passage from this morning, also knew about it. They even saw the star at its rising. They wanted to welcome the new baby. And we all, through Christmas, and now even the 12th day of Christmas, which is today, Epiphany, celebrate what the wise men and the others who followed the star teach us. We want to welcome God to our neighborhood. And he came on purpose in the form of a baby. We know that he lived here for many years, 33, we believe. He died, and then he rose again. God created the world, but God had never lived within the world he created until Christ came to live among us. We do live in the gift-giving scenario that the Magi teach, right? We too bring gifts at Christmas. Oftentimes we share them with our friends and our loved ones. And this year you were so generous with families that had been displaced during the hurricane. We were able to help 4 families to celebrate Christmas this year because of your generosity. Not many of you are probably aware of the word Epiphany or what it means, but it's actually a very deep and rich season in our church year. It has huge importance and drama. For during Epiphany, we celebrate that the one baby born in Bethlehem is a light, as Kathy was teaching the kids, to all the nations. And we explore the ministry of Jesus from the manger all the way to the cross. The word Epiphany in our Greek translation comes from what means manifestation or appearance. And in church history, this has closely become associated with Jesus Christ's revelation, revealing who he was as God's Son. As we celebrate the wonders of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us in Epiphany, the real point is that God comes into our world, becomes our neighbor. And if we are wise enough, we will realize that our world will never be the same again. The Magi in our story were outsiders. They were not part of the Jewish faith. And they cast, therefore, a wonderful telling to us of how the gospel message is for all people. They were people of high social status, in contrast to other characters within the story, such as the shepherds. And their unique experience, feeling overwhelmed with joy and bringing gifts that were therefore likened to a king, this helps to see a different perspective in the infant Jesus' life. I remember when I was a college student and I would leave my house, my parents would be very sad because, you know, they got used to me being home for the holidays, as I'm sure many of you do. Maybe Seraphim's mom's feeling that same way right now, right? And my dad would always say when I left to go back to school that he would leave my light on at night and know that I was always welcome to come back home. He also did it for a selfish reason, which was every time he walked by my room and the light was on, he would smile and say a prayer for me as well. When we think about light and darkness, it is very relevant to the Epiphany theme. For we hear in the Old Testament Isaiah passages of the significance of being in the dark, which is also what Kathy talked about with the kids. Are you afraid of the dark by any chance? Any of you? Okay. Well, speaking of my family, I'm going to talk a little bit about them in this particular part of the sermon. Light is very important to us on multiple levels. My dad grew up in a house where his mother was terrified of the dark, and her husband worked the night shift. So whenever there was like a lightning storm or whatever, you know, she would get all the kids together, and there were four of them, and they would have to sit down in the basement all huddled together with a candle and a flashlight until the storm was over because she was terrified. So this is what my dad grew up with, right? So now, if you go around his house, you'll see he has like 100 flashlights. They're in every part of the house in case the lights were to go out at any time. And so lights are a really big deal. But I want to tell you a story in Thanksgiving. My sister was visiting, once again, with my parents, and she has a little dog, a little Yorkie. Any of you have a dog? He's so adorable, and he's 16 years old. So he's limping a little bit and walking a little bit slower, and he can't see as well, and he's got gray hair, right? I mean, he's old. And I think in dog years, it's like 7 years for every... So he's old, right? Way over 100. And my sister took him outside, and they were at a walk, but it was at nighttime, right? And for some reason, she forgot to put the leash on him. Well, behind where my parents live, there is a creek. And he must have smelled something down there because he dove right down the hill into the darkness and the thick of the brush to the creek. And so my sister was terrified. So she came running back in the house and got one of our many flashlights and went out there into the woods. And I didn't even know any of this was happening because she didn't say anything to me, and I have like a different space I sleep in than her. And next thing you know, my dad calls me and he's like, "I see a flashlight in the backyard. What's going on?" And sure enough, my sister was down in the creek in her nightgown and in her bare feet, picking up her dog, trying to balance her dog and get through the bushes. And of course, the dog is crying. Do you get it? Are we ever in the dark, wandering around aimlessly in a creek, freezing because we need to know about the light? Epiphany really says to us, psst, hey, Jesus is the light, and don't miss it, because it's easy to do so. Life gets busy, doesn't it? And darkness is sometimes very appealing. Also, Kathy talked about that in her prayer. Sometimes we'd rather put our pillow over our head and sleep in than get up and face the freezing cold snow of the morning, or our jobs that require a lot of us, or school, which can be sometimes intimidating, or maybe even to face our spouse if we've had sort of a little tiff. We all meet God in different ways and at different times and in different places in our lives. But the message of Epiphany is that the revelation of God is talking about Jesus being here forever. He's not just a neighbor that's going to move away. He's moved into our world and lives among us. There's a song by Michael W. Smith, which caused me to name the sermon Welcome to Our World, which is quite beautiful, actually. He talks a lot about the imagery of how our world is really not ready to welcome a king, to welcome God, our creator, into this very world which we live. And yet he says, come and welcome. Let us bring you into our lives and our hearts so that we can be transformed. Some of you know Christ very intimately. Others of you don't know him very well at all. But Epiphany is the season in the church calendar where we stop and think about what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. One of my favorite parts of the passage that I read to you earlier is that when the Magi came in to see the baby Jesus, it says, and you may remember these words, they were overwhelmed with joy. I can think of these. Have you ever been to Radio City Music Hall and they have the big kings and in their big outfits? Did you ever see that? Or any sort of pageant at Christmas time where the kings are dressed very elaborately, where, you know, these were kings of countries and nations and wise men that had money, and they were very prestigious, and they would have come with an accompaniment of supplies and camels and all the things that Farron read to us from the Isaiah passage, and they brought with them the gifts that they would have given another king. And here they come in and see this little baby, right? Which is probably, I don't want to say he was crying because, you know, in a way in the manger it says he never cried, right? But come on, he was a little baby. So he probably was crying or screaming or sleeping or who knows what, right? And the kings came in their glory, bringing these fabulous gifts, laying them down. And the first emotion they feel is that they are overwhelmed with joy. I love the Magi for many different reasons, but one is that they were kind of secular. And I know that's sort of a weird word to use in a sermon, but it means that they weren't necessarily church folk, right? They weren't religious people. They studied the stars. They were astronomers. And they learned from the stars that something special had happened. They saw the star at its rising. And you know, that kind of gives me hope that even though I might be ordinary and sometimes secular, I mean, I do watch Young and the Restless, I'll confess. I like TV that's kind of crazy. And I'm human, right? And I think it's amazing that if God can use people like the Magi to follow the light to encounter Christ, then God can use me. The end of the story is very key because it says that in a dream, God spoke to them and told them not to go to Herod, but to go home by a different way. Notice how they didn't go somewhere new. They went back to where they were from, to their own country. But they went back new and different and changed. Because when Jesus is welcomed into your heart and your life and your world, you will never be the same ever again. I forgot to tell you about the candy, by the way. Remember I told you my parents bought the candy? We actually never got around to giving it to them, which, you know, I kind of feel really bad about because that was what the whole purpose was, right? And we actually even started nibbling it. I mean, like we said, hey, Dad, there's this box of candy. Can we have some? And he's like, oh, yeah, and he kind of forgot, right? And so we ate the candy that was meant for the neighbors. And I want to tell you that the reminder from that story is that the gifts of Christmas are not meant just for us, but they're meant to be shared with others for now and forevermore. Amen.